Thought for today: what one sees depends on where one sits. This is Dr. Herbert L. Barley, Dean of the University of Healing here in Capa, California, with a thought for today. What one sees depends upon where one sits. How very true. The king sits on the throne, and he looks at his people coming to honor him, honor the title of king, bringing him gifts, bringing him respect, and maybe bringing him poison. Not everybody likes the king, you know. And some of them bring issues of war from their country, and they know that they can be put to death for doing that, but they bring whatever their king tells them to do. So the king sits up there and says, you're doing merely what you're supposed to do. You're doing merely what you're supposed to do. That's the rules. You're doing just fine. Everything's okay. You follow me? Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, where does the mother sit? A mother sits as the parent of the child, the wife of the husband. And the mother sits and she determines that she is a peer with her husband, that the two of them are walking through life, holding hands together, enjoying everything, and that the concept, the belief, the word of one is just as important as the word of the other. The husband's word isn't the word, the wife's word isn't the word, but the wife's word is an important word, and the husband's word is an important word. And they work together harmoniously. Okay. When a wife goes to her husband and says, sweetheart, I think that instead of buying a Jaguar, we should buy ourselves a nice Ford. And he says, you know, the Fords are more expensive than the Jaguars. She says, well, I wasn't talking about that kind of a Ford. I was talking about a normal four-door sedan. Maybe even, you know, a lovely one. What did we buy for Kip in May? The Crown Victoria. That's a lovely car, too. But it still doesn't come into the category of a Jaguar. Well, yes, there are lower-priced Jaguars and higher-priced Jaguars. And they talk together, and they say, now, sweetheart, I know you're not against one car or another, but what is it we're talking about? Well, we're talking about dollars and cents. And he says, all right, since we're talking about dollars and cents, how many dollars are we talking about that we're interested in spending, you know? And she says, well, what do you think our budget would handle? And so he says, well, I think we can pay $40,000 for a car. And she says, excellent. He says, I was thinking more like 38, but 40 is okay, you know? And so she says, sweetheart, you take $40,000 and you buy the car you want. Go for it. So he goes out and he buys himself a two-year-old Jaguar, which is excellent, which had cost $160,000 2 years ago, and they sell it to him for $40,000. And he says, wow, what's wrong with it? And they said, nothing. It's just the depreciation is amazing on these expensive cars. He said, you're paying $40,000 for it now. You watch, a couple of years from now, it's going to be far less than that. He says, gee, I'll take that. So he gets his Jaguar. And with the Jaguar, he gets all the problems that a Jaguar has. A Jaguar is an extremely finely tuned vehicle, and it must be kept finely tuned so that it operates right. And if you don't have the time and the money to keep it finely tuned, it's not a fun thing to have. He really is a rugged sports car type person. The person who takes any car and makes a sport car out of it. And a Jaguar is not the type of car you do that with. A Jaguar is a luxury vehicle that you use as a show car. I got money, you know, and that sort of thing. Cadillacs used to be that way, too, until everybody started buying Cadillacs who were 3 or 4 years old and got them at a good price. Well, it depends on where you sit. See, everything in life depends on where one sits. And if you sit in a Jaguar that's 2 years old and you feel that it's brand new to you, You have the same glorious feeling in you that a person who buys a brand new Jaguar feels driving that car. It all depends on where you sit. Now, if you're the father and you're at the sports game and your son is, or your daughter is playing in the sports game, what team are you for? You don't care for any team. You care just that your son or daughter wins and that they're on a team that wins and they're in the winning circle. Well, and so what do? You see them as winning. And if they don't win, as the game is over, your heart goes down. Oh, darn, you know. And then you say, now I must not let my son or daughter see me down like this. Hey, you played a great game. Wow, you were really wonderful. You were fantastic. You see, now where do you sit? First you sit as a human being and you think, you know, you'd like the game to be won by your kid. And then you sit as a father who must maintain a certain enthusiasm for whatever the child did in the sports game, even though they didn't win. And then you must maintain a certain amount of enthusiasm when you go home and talk to your wife. Boy, did he play a good game. He was out there sprinting around doing it. He made virtually every score that they got. And unfortunately, the other guys weren't too good at scoring, you know. But our son is top drawer, you know. And you see, it's where you sit. And if you were on the other team, and your son is playing on the other team, and they win, why, you'd be riding your son home on your shoulders. You'd be saying, wow, 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 have I got the best of best. Well, why not take your son on the losing team and ride him home on your shoulders and say, son, I like the way you play. You play a good game. You play a fair game. You play a wonderful game. I'm proud of you, you know. Why is it that we don't do that, you know? Just think how wonderful we can have a relationship with our world if we treated everyone as a winner. If we treated everyone as doing their utmost and doing their personal best. How wonderful the world would be. How marvelous it would be. Now, let's back up a couple notches to where we come to ourselves. In what seat are we viewing ourselves? Are we viewing ourselves as a breadwinner and we don't think that we're earning enough money to take care of our family's needs? Are we viewing ourselves as an excellent person who does work in the office or an excellent person who does work wherever we work? Are we okay or are we top drawer? I talk to a lot of people and I say, well, now, where can I find the best mechanic? Well, I'm the best mechanic. I can do this and I can do that. I say, hey, that's cool. If you're the best mechanic, then make this right. He says, I can do anything. He said, I have experience in all this stuff. So he takes the job, and the minute he takes the job, what does he do? He goes to an associate and he says, hey, Joe, you're top on carburetors. Please fix this carburetor for me, will you please? And Joe says, fine, happy to. He fixes the carburetor. He says, hey, you know what was wrong? Two of the washers were broken in the carburetor, and they weren't giving total compression because the air was escaping out the brakes in the washers and the washer type things they got there. And you say, oh, great, great, okay. So you go to your client and you say, well, it wasn't a big job, but we found that there was, in your washers there, two of them were split and you were losing air compression, and that's why the car wasn't acting properly. And it was just a 39-cent washer job, and it's $10 for the labor, and it's all squared away for you. So here's your bill, $50. $50? What's the $50 for? Well, the other part's for the intelligence, you know. And he said, well, hey, that's cheaper than I would get from somebody who didn't know what they were doing and charged me all their experimental time trying to figure out what it was. You guys at least knew the gasket had been blown twice and needed to be repaired and fixed it. You know, you guys are all top drawer. I am so happy to come and deal with your company. You see, when you say, I know that I know that I know, it doesn't have to be that you know. It has to be that you know how you know. You know And then you just go to one of your mechanics and you say, fix this here. And they fix it. Now, what was wrong with it? That was just two little leaks in the gaskets here. Oh, great. You put in new ones? Yep. And how much time you spend on it? 10 minutes. Okay, that's $50. And, or it's $100, you know, or whatever it is. And so, now, if the mechanic is wise, he will go to the customer and he will say, we researched it and looked it over carefully. We found the problem and we repaired it and you're now in business again. Now, why doesn't he tell the customer what was wrong? Because the customer will think, why did I pay so much for so little, you know? And this is what a lot of people do. They talk too much trying to show how intelligent they are, and in the process, they talk themselves right out of income. They talk themselves right out of confidence, right out of the seat where they belong. And I told Ellen, I said, Ellen, when you give instructions, give instructions. If people want to talk to you about the instructions, say there's no discussion. And be done with it. But if you don't, then you're in trouble. Because what you do is you're just having a big discussion about whatever it was you're discussing, and you could have done whatever it was that had to be done during the time that you discussed it. And so it really is important to work with people and be able to give them instruction without having to give them the kitchen sink too. We live in a wonderful world. We live in a wonderful life. If what we see depends on where we sit. And if we sit in the role of authority, then everything works smooth for us. If we sit in the role of would-be authority, then everything works rather crooked for us because we don't know how to act as a pure authority. As many people say, if you give me the authority to do that job, I'll do it. Mm-hmm. But if you don't give me the authority to do that job, I will give it my best, but I don't know if I can do it. What makes the difference between having the authority and having not the authority? Well, having the authority means that you have the ability to see from where you are exactly what's to be done and do it. Not having the authority means that you have to make sure that the person giving you the opportunity for the work is appreciative and approves of what you've done. And that makes it very hard. That makes it very hard to do things. So if at all times you have the authority to do whatever you're doing and you do it beautifully, then that's all that it matters. So let's look at life carefully. What one sees depends on where one sits. Where do you sit in your life? Where do you sit with your family? Where do you sit with your world? Do you sit in a happy place or a sad place? It's all up to us. I love you. I love you.
I love you.